Well, if you will, open your Bibles up to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Father, we just enter now into the realm of your word. We know your word is what we actually live by. It's our food, our sustenance for our growth in you. And Father, it's important that we do eat the word of God. We consume it. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege that you have left us your word. And you have spoken to us your word. And so we appreciate that. We love that. We ask that your anointing be upon me to give the word and upon your people to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, is John Duclos here? Oh, he's overseas. Oh, good. I don't have to get his permission to share what I'm going to share. He's not here. Praise God. But in Hebrews chapter 3, I want us to read there a little bit. And let's go to verse 4 of Hebrews 3. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Well, actually, in Greek, it says, having prepared all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards, actually being spoken in the future. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Notice what he says, and they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Aren't you glad he was talking to the Hebrews that wanted to revert back into Judaism and not us? So these scriptures don't apply to us, right? Well, let's go on. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Then he goes on to say in chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached as to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in his place, they shall not enter my rest. Now let's stop and let's go over a few things here. First of all, The book of Hebrews was written to a converted Jew. And because of the pressure and the results of the family, their own family disowning them and burying them, and whether you realize not, over there in Jerusalem, there's a huge cemetery, but there's not a body found in that cemetery because the cemetery was, the grave was a marker for those who received Jesus and abandoned Christianity. So they just buried you in their mind and in their thinking. It's horrible. And so they suffered a lot of persecution for abandoning Judaism and going into Christianity. And so they wanted to reverse their course. And the Apostle Paul clearly defined to them through that book, you can't do that. Because now it's switched from Judaism to Christianity or into the person of Christ. And so, in order for you to revert back into Judaism, you have to abandon the person of Christ in order to go back into Judaism. We got Christians doing that today. It's crazy. And I asked somebody something, why would you go back into Judaism? Well, I want to go back to find my roots. Well, listen, Judaism came before Christianity, right? But the nation of Israel never found their root. And so he manifested, Christ manifested, and to show us plainly the root of Judaism. So if you really want to understand Old Testament, understand New Testament, and it makes Old Testament make sense. Yeah, that's as simple as I can put it. But something happened to me last week, and I'm bold to say it was John Duclos. He came into my office, and he sat down, and he asked me two questions. And I was overtaken by his question. I said, John, where are you coming from? I said, haven't you been on Wednesday nights, my teaching on Mark 4? No, I haven't. I haven't been there. And I said, oh. And so I listened to his heart a little bit, and I finally figured out where he was coming from. And I said, well, John, you're correct. And he said, oh, I am correct. And I said, yeah, you're correct. You know, and so we started communicating, and boy, we were flowing, and everything he was seeing, I had seen, and boy, we were just jiving together. And he left my office, but there was one thing he said that caught my attention. He asked others of you in this body the very question he asked me, and the response you gave him concerned me. Simply because I begin to see something that maybe I wasn't focused in on enough to make myself clear on the issue of faith. And so I want to share some things with you today that I think will help you concerning the issue of faith. Faith has always been a very difficult thing for a lot of people, and I understand why. But a lot of times we hear something so much we just take it for granted that that's the way it is. Sometimes you have to re-listen to get a hold of something. Yeah. Well, Wednesday nights, how many of you have been coming Wednesday nights? Can I see your hands? Okay. So many of you have not been coming on Wednesday nights. And I didn't say that to discredit you. I said that to give you an example that the Word of God is so full that you can only take it in parts, bits and pieces. And what people don't understand about the Word of God, it's mentioned that the Word of God comes in seed form. And so in Mark 4, it talks about how important it is that that seed go into the right ground. Amen? Because the proper ground is the only ground that God can give an increase in. See, you got to get a hold of this. We're talking about horticulture here. Is my son here, Tim? You know something about seed planted and everything. Well, Tim was telling me one time, he was watching these people plant these trees, and he said they're all going to be dead, and a couple of months later, they were all dead. And I asked Tim, I said, well, Tim, it came to pass, all the trees are dead. And Tim goes, because I watched how they were planting them, and they weren't doing certain things to the ground. And I went, oh. Well, something just leaped in me from Mark 4, how important it is to prepare the ground in order for the seed to take root and then harvest itself. Right. How many of you realize how important that is? And so I went back to Mark 4, and I don't remember how long ago that was. It was quite a few years ago. But I had seen something that I had never seen before. Matter of fact, I got so excited about it, I ran into John's office, and John said, boy, that just bears witness and everything. But the thing about it was, John was bearing witness to what I was saying, but he wasn't seeing what I was saying. You know, sometimes you can hear something and not hear it. Did you know that? And so I want to ask you a question. And I'm not looking for a trick answer. I'm looking for just a basic answer from anybody. How do you receive from God? So some of you that have been coming on Wednesday night, you know, so I'm not going to ask you. How do you just, John, let's see. How do you receive from God? Now, you quit saying the right thing. I'll ask somebody else. How do you receive from heart? How do you receive from heart? How do you receive from God? Normally, this is what everybody tells me, and this is what John Cook had shared with me. Every one of us receive from God by faith. Does everybody agree with that? You do. Do you believe that you receive from God through faith? Doesn't that sound good? If you haven't been here on Wednesday night, then you would not have come up with that statement. You don't receive from God by faith. Does anybody got a pen? That's why I asked John if he'd been listening to me on Wednesday nights. Now, did you notice that what was said here in Hebrews chapter 4, that if we fear anything, let's fear the fact that we don't have a promise given to us. Well, what would be the purpose of a promise? Because we have need of it. Amen. And it could be in a test or a trial, or it could be enlightenment, whatever it is that we have need of the promise. If we're concerned about that, one thing that we need to be concerned about is, do we have the proper promise for what we have need of? Is that too hard to figure out? Now, what I mean by when I said, you don't really receive from God by faith. You know, you got to clarify that when you say that, because when I had seen this quite a few years ago, it changed something on the inside of me. And the first principle I applied to it, when I started really getting the fullness, when things begin to react within my body. And so I was starting to get the results of it, and I was so excited that I began to teach Mark chapter 4, and I taught it. And matter of fact, I was sharing this with Aaron. He was over at my house, Aaron and Lindsay, and Aaron goes, yeah, I got all that in my notes. I said, you do? So I'm sharing with him something that he already knew. He was catching it. And he said, yeah, you shared that in your... And then when I ask a question, he'd tell me where it was in his notes. And I'm saying, wow, Aaron, you're paying attention. And now, why did I even say that? Because I was concerned at how I was coming across to you people on an emphasis that we need to take a look at right now this morning. Now, in what we read in Hebrews, it said what they heard was not mixed with faith. Now, when we get this concept that faith is how we receive from God, you have to understand that term when you use it, because it can be a little misleading. How you really receive from God is through your ear gate, your hearing. And as a result of what you hear, then comes faith. And so we have been taught that through faith we receive from God. No, no, no. It's through hearing that the results of what you're hearing either produces a faith in you or it doesn't. Faith is a result as to the outcome of what was said. Hearing is how you receive. Faith is a result of what you heard. That's why you have to understand why so many of the scriptures in the synoptic gospels always mentions not faith generically, it refers to the God kind of faith. Because you can have faith in anything that you hear. But when it's designated that you are to hear the faith that you need to what God speaks, now you're not generically looking at the outcome of a faith, because it can be negative as well as positive. Now you've got some perimeters that you're looking at that God spoke. And when God speaks it, what are you going to do with it? So another way of saying it is God is responsible for his word. You're responsible how you choose to receive what you hear. Your faith is based on the measure you hear with. That's what is so frustrating with us as leaders. We want to preach you the word of God, but if you're not faithful to listen to it, then you hear it fragmentally. John, is it all right if I share this about you? He has a screen in his office, and every once in a while he'll get back and start playing these puzzles on his screen. And he can now flip through them puzzles and put them all together in all these little parts. Well, the Word of God comes in seed form. It's planted in your good ground called your spirit. And God is the one that did something to your inner man, not you. God put good ground in you. But guess what? Your outward ground, he has no regard for. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Romans 8. What does it say? It says you're now living in the realm of your spirit because sin nature resides in your outer man. So when you get born again, wouldn't it be nice if the sin nature exited your outward man? Then guess what? If that was the case, you and I would not have a problem with Galatians chapter 5:17. The spirit has a desire against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. Antagonistic, a war goes on that we as believers can become quite aware of, such as what you used to do with your outward man. You'll find an inward conscience saying, you can't do that no more. Yep. Oh. Because you now have a different conscience. And so, what I'm trying to get to you to understand, the reason faith is so difficult for people, they think God's responsible for their faith. He is not. He's responsible to make sure a promise has been given you so that you can have faith in the promise. See, you're responsible for your faith. That's why Jesus went everywhere and healed everybody and said, it was your faith. You believed in what I said. Therefore, you had faith. Right. That's why Christians that sit there and argue over the faith message, they don't know what they're talking about.
God didn't come and say, if you have faith, that is the only way you're going to receive from me. No, he came and said, if you pay attention to what I'm saying, you'll have faith. Romans chapter 10. It didn't say it started out with faith. It started out with what you're hearing with. That's why Mark 4 said in verse 22, it's what you hear with is what you will receive. And if you're hearing from the good ground, more will be added to you. But if you're hearing from the wrong ground, it will even, you'll lose what you have. Boy, if that isn't life in itself, I don't know what is. Did you know, according to 2 Corinthians 10:12, faith does not compare itself with others? Boy, how we're a product of that. Also, in the same chapter, faith has an increase. Well, it isn't because it increases in God. The faith increases in you. Why? Because the more you hear, the more faith you should have. So it's all about how you're going to hear from God. And I'm going to tell you something about God. We said it today. We sang about it. How many of you believe that God is a good God? If you believe otherwise, there's something wrong with you. God is only love. And thank God he declared to us, and he wants us to hear this, nobody can separate us from the love of God. Nobody can. That means that nobody can go to God and report an accusation against me. Why? Because God settled it through his Son. There's nothing now that can stand between me and you, because my Son paid that price. He removed the barrier. You didn't. God did. The barrier is sin. And so God removed that barrier through Christ, so that when you make a mistake or you mess up, God has a way to help you out of what you got into, because he could not help but be touched with the feelings of your infirmity. And so I've said this even on Wednesday night in Mark chapter 4. If you don't get this, man, you're missing a big thing. A real big thing is the fact that when you hear the word of God and apply it to yourself, then it'll change you. So many times we have mistaken the concept of faith as the issue, the only issue of how we receive from God. People, that is erroneous. You hear and receive from God. You see and hear. It's through your ear gates that you receive from God. But faith is a product of what you heard. And it's not a product of him. It's a product that gets into you. You know why a lot of Christians do not have confidence in what God said? It's because somebody told them, somebody somewhere told them that the reason they're not receiving from God is because they just don't have faith in God. And so right away they pin you with the thought that you don't have enough faith. I've been a product of that. I just didn't have enough faith. But when you look at the love of God, you begin to realize something you've never realized before. He has so much love for you. Even when you made a mistake, he's still reaching back for you and to help you recover from what you got into. That's why he left an exact promise to you that you need. That's the mind you've got to have of God. He's a God of love. You know what hindered my faith to begin with? For a lot, when I was first got into church. What hindered my faith a lot is I believed in the testimony of a divine saint that didn't get the results that the Bible said I could have. And in 1 John, he tells you, if you have the witness of men, God is greater than the witness of a man. Because you don't know where their heart was. You don't know how much faith they were in. And if they were sitting there arguing about the message of faith, they have no faith in what God said. Yeah. See, what helps us receive the promise of God is that if we focus in on the promise and keep our eyes on that promise, then all hell can break loose around us. But if we keep our eye on that promise, what we're saying is, I don't care what's going on around me. I've got my eye on what you said, and there's where your faith will do you good. Glory to God. I feel like I'd whoop on the devil. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Whew, it's hot in here. Go get him. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing. So then faith comes by hearing. What's first? What's first? So then faith comes by what?
Hearing.
So what comes first?
Hearing.
Thank you. It's the way that it's written that it makes you think faith is first. It isn't. The hearing is first. And then he says, and hearing by the word of God. That is where your promise comes from. You know, Wednesday night we had a move of God, and we had I had a witness in me that they were receiving, and God said by the time they sit down, they're talked out of it. You know, how you receive from God, people? You know how you receive from God? You don't receive from God by questioning your faith. You receive from God by hearing what he has told you. Really, your faith is predicated on how much trust you put in what he said. I hope this is helping you a little bit, because I'm going to tell you, every one of us need a promise, especially when we're in straight with ourself, when we're in straight with our loved ones, when we're in straight with our church, when we're in straight with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? That's where the love of God will lodge itself in our heart. Bob Chambly, he had this heart attack, and right away I received a phone call on a Friday when I was here by myself, and answered the phone. It's Hal Britzenhoff, all the way from Montana. And I said, "Hi, Hal," and he said, "Hi, Pastor." He says, "I have one thing against you." I said, "Oh, brother." I wanted to say, "I missed you up until you made that statement." I said, "Oh, what is it that you hold against me?" He says, "I can't listen to anybody else after I've listened to you." And I said, "Well, that's a good thing." I wanted to kiss him on the phone, but I couldn't kiss him on the phone. And he says, "Oh, by the way, I wanted to let you know that Bob Chambly had a heart attack." What? After telling me that, didn't you drop that on me? But I went right into my office. I got into the Holy Ghost and I started praying. And you know what God told me? He's going to be all right. I got everything in control. Felt a peace. Well, then, of course, Bob Chambly, he went and had his heart attack, but he had it in the hospital. That's a good place to have it. All because he listened to God and responded. But getting back, for your understanding, there's been a lot of doctrines that have gotten into our theology. One of them is the ultimate sovereignty of God. And another one is Calvinism. And these are doctrines. You got to be careful of these doctrines, because they'll rob you of your faith in what God says. Now, in Romans here, 10:17, let's read it. It says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, I'm going to tell you what it says in the Greek here. The translators put that in there, but here's what it says in the Greek. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing a rhema of Christ. Through a rhema of Christ. People, do you realize that our faith is established on the manifestation of the Son of God, which gives us a different understanding of our faith apart from the faith that they had in the Old Testament? Did you know that?
Yeah.
So when Jesus spoke in the New Testament, he expected you to hear what he said and receive it, therefore you have faith. Yeah. Remember the centurion? He said, I'm a man under authority. And he says, I recognize that you're under some authority.
Right.
And he says, and of course the centurion had need of a healing of one of his servants. Is that? Yeah. And so the centurion was reaching out to Christ. Why? Because Christ had the witness. He had a witness within himself. People, did you know that you are to wait upon the Holy Ghost so that you can be his witness?
Amen.
You know why it's important that you be a witness? Because other people will trust you, have faith in what you're doing because you're doing it right. Well, how many of you can agree that Jesus was doing things right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it got the attention of the centurion. He came to him and he said, Jesus, I understand you're a man under authority. Just like I have men under my authority. And they'll do what I say that they're to do and they'll go and do it. And if I say to one, he'll go do this, he'll do it. And another, go do that. And he turned around and he said, you don't even have to come to my house. He says, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. And Jesus go, wow! He didn't say, who imparted that faith to you? No, he said, just send me your word.
Yeah.
And I tell you, he wasn't a born again man.
True.
He didn't even have good ground. But he had enough sense to know that if I'm a man under authority and they obey me, he must be under authority because he was getting the results of what he was doing. I'm going to read something to you. Now I'm going to shut up. I want to get this faith thing clarified. Faith is an issue with you. Hearing what God says is his responsibility to provide you with the spoken word, to provide you with the preserved word. It's how you hear it. This is by Charles Price. Charles S. Price. This is an old guy, isn't he? He died in the 40s. He's an old guy. I was born in the 40s. I'm a new guy. I loved what he said about the promises of God. He said, get a hold of a promise and stand on it. Recognize that it is for you. Don't try to cover the whole world with that promise, but tell the Lord that in his infinite mercy and love, he has condescended to give you that promise to you.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm saying here. It is your priceless possession. When you realize it, you will treasure it in your heart more than you have ever treasured any jewel in your life.
Amen.
You will hold it so close to you that you will never want to let it go. You will declare, it is mine, mine, mine.
Amen.
That will help you in your faith to receive from God.
Yeah.
That you look at the promise that he has spoken, and then it affects what you believe.
Yes.
I like his next step. And this is when we were talking about the cares and stresses that we all go through in life. The problem is that many of us open our fat mouth and begin to speak what we see that is not good. I'm going to tell you, you're casting away your confidence in what he promised you when you do that. Now watch this. Bring your burdens, your problems, your need to the Lord. And leave it there. refuse to worry about it. Whether or not there is any manifestation of divine healing power held, that hold a power hold the Lord to his promise, and tell him that you have laid your burden in his nail pierced feet. He is the burden bearer. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He assumed our sins. That is the reason why we do not have to carry them anymore. He died for our death and gave us his life. He bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows because of the greatness of his heart and love. He invites us to come with our burdens and leave them at his feet. So many times we bring our burdens to the Lord, intercede about them, supplicate about them, and then promptly take them away with us, only to bring them back with us the following night. To do so is totally unscriptural and shows a lack of faith in God. Bring your burden and lay down at his nail-pierced feet and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, through all the all the world is false, or be false, your promises are sure. Forgive me for my worry, or for my fretting, for my unbelief. I lay my burdens before you. In thy word thou hast said thou carest for me." When we see the lilies, listen to this. This is cool. When we see the lilies spinning in distress, taking thought to manufacture loveliness, when we see the birds all building barns for store, till be time for us to worry, not before.
Amen.
Did you get that? You want me to read it again? When we see the lilies spinning in distress, taking thought to manufacture loveliness, when we see the birds all building barns for store, twill be the time for us to worry. Twill be the time for us to worry. Why? Not before. Well, Jesus, when he gave us that parable, he wasn't saying, "Hey, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the distress they're in." They were clothed in peace. Birds are clothed in peace. Are you following me? That's how much he cares about you. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that you have need of help and timely needs." In the same passage, he says he knows what you have need of because he partook of it himself.
Amen.
People sit there and say, "The Lord just doesn't understand what I'm going through." You just lied.
Right.
You're a liar when you say that. God understands what you're going through. You know what? There's fear that will crop up in every one of our lives. There is fear that crops up. But I'm going to tell you something that will bring you peace, even though fear comes present, is the fact that God loves you so much that it will remove the fear from you. But you got to get a revelation of his love. When people sit there and argue about the understanding of faith, what they're doing is they're actually condemning their own heart. Faith is not how you receive from God, people. It's hearing how you receive from him, and then faith should follow. I want you all to go home. I'm going to give you a home lesson. I want you all to go home, and I want you to read Romans chapter 10. And you will find it loaded with the fact of hearing. I used to wonder why. God, those guys, they received from God real. Their faith was just awesome because that's how they received from God. When Jesus said, "Your faith," and I couldn't figure out how he threw it over on them.
Right.
It's because when Jesus showed them and said to them, they immediately said, "I believe that."
Yep.
You know what unbelief is? When he speaks, you do not believe it. Therefore, you're faithless.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Because the bottom line that affects your faith
is where do you stand in your trust of what he said? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And if you keep focusing on what he said, I'm going to tell you something. It'll do something to your heart. Because if you keep focusing on what he said instead of what you think, but what he said, that will do more for you to receive from him than anything else. And how you receive from him is through the faith that you put in what he said. What do you think he said in Mark chapter 4? I'm going to shut up in a minute. He said, when he said this, I was so stunned. I never could figure it out. He said, seeing they may see and hearing they may hear, that they may go and get saved and healed and delivered. I got to thinking, that's a good thing. What in the world was he talking about? He was talking about how they were hearing. They hardened their heart towards God because they didn't trust in what he said. Do you want to help your faith? Recognize your faith is not how you receive from God. It's what you hear and what you do with what you heard that really amplifies where your faith is. Right. Amen. Glory to God. Stand up, everybody. Did this help you a little bit? I'm always, and you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know this till quite a few years ago, because when I was going to Bible school, all I heard is about faith. And then they told me how I mechanically, how I could function if I'm in the faith. And so I was reading one day in Romans chapter 10, and I went to John and I said, John, I think we're missing something here. And John said, oh, what do you think we're missing? I said, I think we're missing the aspect of the hearing because of verse 22 of Mark 4. He says, with what measure you're hearing with, if you're hearing, more will be added to you. But if you're not hearing right, even what you have will be taken from you. Oh, that never happens because I'm a Christian. I don't lose anything. I'm going to tell you, God has made you the strong man in your house. Amen. He has, hasn't he, Sue? He's made you and I the strong man of our home. Amen. It's up to us what we choose to do with it. So how you receive from God is how you hear. Don't ever get away from that. Because faith is always a result of what you hear. Romans 10. I've been preaching this all along, but thank God for John Duclos coming and asking me that question. I was so stunned. I got to think, well, hasn't he been there when he said, no, I haven't. Well, he travels a lot. He goes. He hasn't been here to hear us on Wednesday night because Wednesday night we have our meet night. And so if you're not attending on Wednesday night, what happens? There's a part of the puzzle that you can't put together because you don't have the piece. Right. Now, did you know the washing of the water of the word is another term for keep listening to it. Yes. Keep listening to it. Keep listening to it. Keep listening to it. Why? What'll happen? On the good ground on the inside of you, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. You don't know how, but you can put in the sickle and reap the harvest. Amen. About time we were harvest reapers. I'm getting tired of going to my ground and not finding anything in it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God as they all stand here in reverence to you. And Father, as we begin to close this service, we don't want to leave this service. And if there's somebody here that is always in turmoil and questioning, even about their salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even their healing, Father, we want to lay hands on them because you told us. You said it, and we have faith in what you said. We can pray for them to receive. Amen. Okay, well, dear Heavenly Father, I hope what I shared with your people will stick to the ribs, Father, and make them refocus on what you said so that they can evaluate where their faith is. In Jesus' name, amen. Adios, amigos.